I hope you all heard the orders today from Nehemiah: eat rich food and drink sweet wines, and so you can have a year acceptable to the Lord. So you got the orders there, right? A friend of mine works in the Diocese of Orange, and one day the bishop was out of town, and he called back, and he said, John, what's going on? John said, Bishop, you wouldn't believe it. The captives are being set free, the blind are seeing, and the poor are having good news preached to them. And the bishop responded, oh, cut out the nonsense. What's really going on? Seemed that the bishop could not imagine that the mission that Jesus came to bring us was even possible in the Diocese of Orange. Because this really isn't what was going on in today's gospel, Luke chapter 4, Jesus telling us his mission, gets that scroll from the prophet Isaiah, and he says, this is what I'm about. Liberty to captives, sight to the blind, good news to the poor. That's my mission. That's what I'm going to do. I wonder what would happen if the bishop asked me, how are things going, John? He'd want to know how many baptisms were here, how many marriages were celebrated, how many people received communion. I wonder if we're missing something, if we're missing the very mission that Jesus came to bring us. And I think that raises the question of a word that we're starting to hear nowadays, the word evangelization, not a word that Catholics used to hear. In the olden days, we thought that our job was to go into those nice full churches, which were on every corner, and the pews were all had many seats taken. And so the job of the church at that point was to take care of the people who were coming. And people would come into the church and they'd sit down and they'd say, okay, do me. Well, that was then. As we've been going through this process in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and not just in Chicago, in the whole country and in the whole world, where we're finding churches closing, we understand that our mission has to be different than it was. Instead of thinking, do me, we have to say, what am I supposed to do? We have to change the mentality from just simply taking care of those who are showing up to reaching out to those who aren't coming, who belong here. That is the meaning of evangelization. That's what we used to call mission. Now, the word mission a lot of times had this mentality, oh, mission, well, that's where you go somewhere else. Go to another country. Go to another continent. Then you're on mission. But the example of Jesus today says that each one of us is called to mission. Each one of us has to share this good news that we have received with our family, our fellow students, our neighbors, as Jesus did with his neighbors and his family there in Nazareth. So Jesus then was the first missionary, the first evangelizer. And notice that he did not do evangelization by having a wonderful religious ed program or having a Bible study or getting people involved in catechetics. What he did was imagine that this world needs to look as God intends it to look, where there is freedom, where there is sight, where there is good news. That's what he looked on his role, letting that happen. Letting this world be transformed. And so perhaps we have to think about our own mission as Jesus thought about his mission. Is this something that we are able to do in our lives? Now, I have to confess, there are some of those prisoners I don't know if I'd really want to set free. I think they're really good where they belong. And I'm not very good at making the blind to see. Parentheses, when the fathers of the church talked about this, they said, well, actually, we're freeing people from sin, and we're curing them of their blindness, which is ignorance. Close parentheses, but we won't worry about metaphor. Instead, I want to concentrate on that last passage that Jesus stresses there, that we have to bring good news to the poor. That sounds like something we can do, right? Here at St. James, we can bring good news. So how do we do it? How do we follow Jesus and his mission in our own way? Well, what's the good news? The good news is that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, right? God so loved the world. And that's the first lesson that we have to have. If we're going to truly imitate the mission of Jesus, we have to make sure everyone understands that God so loved the world, that God so loved you, that God so loved me, that he showers divine blessings and graces upon us. We are not apt to believe it. We think we have to earn it, or we have to merit it, or we have to do something to get it. But the good news is, it just comes to us, God's love. It's just given to us because of how good God is, not because of how good we are. Jesus wanted us to understand this, and so we use this image to help us understand it, of God as Father. So I think the idea that he had is, Jesus said, well, you know, God is at least as good as we are. And if parents love their children just because they're their children, well, that's how God loves us. God loves us just because we're children of God. And if parents continue to love their children, even when their children mess up, parents continue to reach out to their children and try to help them and bring them back, even when they make mistakes, well, that's the way God will love us too. That's the good news that we have to convey to others. And that good news spills over into our relationships with others. That's what St. Paul says in the epistle today. He spills over because we realize that, well, if we're the children of God, then we're all lovable. And there isn't anyone out there that I can't love, because I see in them this family resemblance to Jesus. You know, the reason that we feed the hungry or worry about the homeless or reach out to the needy is not because we have charity or largesse. We do it because they're family, and you care for family. We're all the family of God. St. Paul says in the epistle today, you are indicative. You are the body of Christ, each one of you, individually. You are the body of Christ. Now, of course, we can notice the differences. You know, we're from many different countries and many different cultures. We speak different languages. We eat different foods. We wear different kinds of clothes. We are men and women. We are rich and poor. Well, maybe we're not rich, but we are different. But St. Paul says, vive la différence. Isn't that how our bodies work, he says? You've got to have differences for your body to work. And that's the plan, that you need a head and a hand and a heart and a kidney and a foot and an ear for your body to be what it's supposed to be. And we need all our diversity if we're going to be who God expects us to be. So as we look around, all we are seeing are parts of ourselves as the body of Christ, as people who are worthy of being loved and cared for. There are no strangers here. Just friends we haven't met yet. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the mission of Jesus that we share. Amen.